Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus. I trust in you.
Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. May the Lord pour out His Holy Spirit on you today and give you His benefits richly. Lord, we ask that, Lord, for all the brethren that are joining us today, that your mercy and your grace would be poured out upon them, Father, that your benefits would be in their heart and in their mind and coming out of their mouth in their confession towards you. For you have said, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And Lord, we pray that good confession will be in the heart and in the mouth of the saints of God out there to spread your wonderful good news and your benefits all over this world, Lord. We praise you for it, Father. We praise you in Jesus' name. And Lord, bless us today, Lord. Bless us in our meeting and in our fellowship and in sharing the word. And we thank you, God, that this word is going into our hearts and creating the life of Christ in us. That His word is His seed, and that seed can only bring forth Him. And so we praise you for it, Father. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, we've been talking about the real good news. And in particular, most recently, we've been talking about the deliverance that God gives us in the real good news. And I'll read a couple of verses to you here. Matthew 28, when Jesus sent out His disciples, when they were about to go solo because He was going home, right? Verse 18. And Jesus came unto them and spake unto them, saying, All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Well, he obviously wasn't talking to those particular disciples that he was going to be with them that long, right? But he was talking about all disciples who go forth at his bidding and who teach, of course, that to observe all things that he told the first disciples, just as he says here. The word observe there is the words that mean hold fast to. Keep, hold fast to. Well, we haven't done that, have we? I mean, over the last 2,000 years, we've slidden about as far as we can slide away from what was written in the Gospels in the book of Acts and later. And now the Lord is bringing His people back to a time when His benefits are going to be known in the earth once more, miraculously, powerfully. But we need to hold fast to the commands that He gave the first disciples. And contending earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered unto the saints. Contending for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And you know, and in the end of Mark, He told us, and this is one of those things that He commanded His first disciples, which was passed on to us. He said, These signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name they will cast out demons. And who did He say that to? Well, He said that to the disciples, and He gave it to them so that they would know real disciples. Okay, verse 14. Afterward He was manifested unto the 11 themselves as they sat at meat, and He upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them that had seen Him after He was risen. And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. They didn't get to do that, did they? So He obviously, once again, He was talking to more than just the first disciples. He was speaking to us here, right? the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs will accompany them that believe. So we see that he taught them how to identify the people that really believed what they said when they were passing on the commandments that Jesus gave unto them. Passing on the commandments that Jesus gave unto them. You understand, folks, that we're not to receive anything but the commandments that Jesus gave unto the first disciples. The church has not kept the word of God. They have not held fast to the commands given to the first disciples. In Luke chapter 10, in verse 16, he says, "He that heareth you, heareth me, and he that rejecteth you, rejecteth me, and he that rejecteth me, rejecteth him that sent me." Well, I tell you, we've rejected them. We've rejected their word, we've rejected their commands, and now we see the trouble that's come of it. The church has not brought forth any deliverance in the earth, as Isaiah 26 says, and there's been a great falling away. And in verse 17 it says, "And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in thy name." They were happy to get this revelation. And I tell you, a lot of people are going to be happy to get this revelation once again, like it's been hidden. Well, it's been right there all along, folks. Get in your Bible and read your Bible. Make sure that you're not wasting your time and God's time, right? Find out what a real disciple is. They were just overjoyed to see that the demons had to obey them. And verse 18, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you." So when he talks about serpents and scorpions, he's talking about spirits, right? "That the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." He gave them this authority, and he commanded them to go out and give this authority. He commanded them to teach the disciples to observe or to hold fast to everything that he spoke to them. And so, that's what we're doing today. We have no authority to do anything else but to share with the disciples what the Lord has given us as benefits and as an inheritance. So we praise be to God for that. You know, I shared a little testimony with you last time, but I'm going to refresh some because I know some are coming in the middle here and they didn't know about that. But I shared a revelation, actually a testimony of a sister who got her deliverance, and she got it because she held fast to the confession of the scriptures, you know. I shared with you about Sister Linda, who actually had received the inheritance of her parents. She had a family before her who had died of cancer, and she now was being told by the doctors that she had cancer in a lung, in a lobe, and that the doctors were telling her that they were going to have to do surgery to cut off that lobe. And she told her doctor very boldly, even though she admitted that she was not a bold person, but she knew that the Lord was rising up in her to speak this word. And she told the doctor very boldly that the Lord was going to heal her. And she confessed that very plainly. We have this testimony, matter of fact, on our site. And she wrote it. And she put it there. So she told them that the doctor was going to heal her. And so about, I think the next month she ran into our brother Bob Accardi, one of our elders. And Bob shared the real good news with her that not only was Jesus going to heal her, but he had already healed her at the cross. He shared the real gospel with her, and she understood that this was already accomplished. It wasn't something she had to do. It wasn't something that the doctors could bring to pass. It was something that she had to just receive by faith as a gift from God. So when she was talking with Bob, she confessed very boldly that she was healed, which is the real truth. You know, the Bible says by his stripes ye were healed. But if you've been following us, you know that many many healing issues are demonically motivated. And Jesus went about doing good, healing all who was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It is an oppression or sometimes a possession of the devil. Many of these very bad diseases are spirits of infirmity. Well, you know, Linda boldly confessed her faith, and Bob told her that, hey, we're going to pray tonight, we're going to agree with God tonight, and we're going to command your healing tonight. And so you expect it, you know. And Bob brought the message to us that Linda had confessed boldly her healing. And so about 7:30 in the evening, we boldly commanded the spirit of cancer to come out of her in Jesus' name. Well, you know, it didn't happen immediately at that particular moment. But you know what? The devil has to obey. And so about 11:30 at night, if I remember correctly, Linda woke up and a smoke was coming out of her nose. And she knew at that moment that that demon had come out of her and that she was now healed. And, you know, proof followed very, very quickly. You know, the demon came out, but you know what they do is they do damage to your body that needs healing, right? The demon can come out sometimes immediately, but the healing can follow thereafter. Well, she went and, first of all, she confessed very boldly to everyone, even the doctor, that she was healed. And they did their scans to find out. And lo and behold, you know, she was healing. Almost instantly, she was healing. And in the days that followed, she got a complete, perfect healing because she held fast of her confession. So, you know, God is faithful. Bible says faith without works is dead. It's incomplete. And the Lord has told us to confess Him before men, which Linda did. She confessed Him before men. She confessed Him before the unbelieving doctors. And she stepped out by faith. You know, the Lord, this is a confirmation to us of a person's faith. It's when they are willing to suffer scorn sometimes, the indignities of others because they believe the Word of God enough to speak it. And the Bible says if we believe with our heart and confess with our mouth, that's all that's necessary. Matter of fact, I'll read that to you. That's in Romans chapter 10. I'm going to start in verse 8. It says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach." You know, you're not very far from a healing, a deliverance, anything you need, folks. And that's what he's telling you right here. The previous text, he tells you, hey, do you have to go up to heaven to get it? Does Christ have to come down to get it? No. Look, the word is very, very nigh you. It's in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, thou shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, what is Jesus Lord of? Well, what Jesus did at the cross was to become Lord over all of the curse and over all of sin and over all of creation. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Now, when Jesus walked the earth, he exercised this authority over the curse to set God's people free. In fact, Isaiah 61 boldly proclaims that he would set the captives free and open the prison to them that are bound, delivering God's people from bondage to Satan, the curse, and sin, and so on. And we see here that it's very, very simple. Salvation in any form, whether it's salvation of your spirit, soul, or body, or circumstances, is with your heart you believe the promises of the Word of God, and with your mouth you confess them. Faith without works is dead, as the Scripture very plainly tells us. And I'll just read the rest of this. It says, God, verse 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame. And a little further down, verse 16, he says, but they did not all hearken to the glad tidings. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? And it is today the same way, folks. Many do not believe and therefore do not really confess the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. The word confess means to speak the same as, homologeo, the same word. Some people translate it, the same word. Homologeo, to speak the same as, and to confess in agreement with healing, deliverance, provision of any form, is to say what the Bible says about it, to speak with the same word about it. Our Lord Jesus said if we will confess him before men, he would confess us before the Father and before the holy angels. And of course, the angels, the Bible says in Hebrews, are ministering spirits sent forth to do service for them that are heirs of salvation. They serve the heirs of salvation. They are the ones that manifest these precious gifts that we agree with. And the Bible, by the way, in Psalm 103, I'll just read that to you real quick, like. Psalm 103 and verse 20, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, but I'm going to back up to 19. The Lord hath established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Over all, folks. Don't leave anybody out. You know, don't leave the principalities, the powers, the spirit of cancer that was taken dominion over in Linda's case. Ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that are mighty in strength, that fulfill his word, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. See, as ministers of his, we confess him before men. We speak the same as. In other words, we agree with the word of God. Do you know that the angels are waiting for you to agree with the word of God so that they can do what? Well, it says right here, they hearken unto the voice of his word. It says they are mighty in strength that fulfill his word. They are waiting for you to agree with the word of God so that they can administer the benefits of the kingdom. They are ministering spirits sent forth to do service for them that are heirs of salvation. That is us. That is we who believe. And so, we have authority to bind or to loose, according to Jesus. What we bind on earth is bound in heaven. What we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And we do that by agreeing with the word of God or disagreeing with the word of God. We loose the devil to take advantage of us and to plunder us if we don't agree with the word of God. Because Revelation 22 tells us that if we add to or take away from the words of this book, in other words, we don't confess him, we don't speak the same as. And if we do that, he said that we're under the curses of this book, and also that our name would be taken out of that book of life. So it behooves us to agree with God's word, so that we can have those benefits, and to confess him boldly before men, even men who don't believe. I mean, God wants a testimony in the earth, and he wants us to confess him before men. He said he would confess us before the angels if we did that. And of course, here you see the angels administering the benefits because the word of God has been spoken. Many believe this only means that the angels listen to what God says. Well, you have it both ways, because Jesus said he would confess us before the holy angels if we confessed him before men. And of course, if we confess him before men, we are speaking the word of God before them. And so either way, folks, the angels get the authority. And Jesus said they get it from us. What we bind on earth is bound in heaven. What we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. If we don't agree with the word of God, we loose the devil. And we bind God, just as Jesus did when he went to his own hometown and couldn't do many mighty works because of their unbelief. You see, their unbelief had bound God. The Bible says he could not do many mighty works. Why? How could we possibly bind God? Well, because, very simply, God has bound himself by his own word, the scripture says. Once he's made a promise and once he's made a condition, if he was to disagree with it or annul it or not submit to it in any way, he would be a liar. And God's not a liar. He's not a man that he should lie. And so you see, God is bound himself by his word, but many times men would like to get him to change the word. They would like to get him to administer the benefits of the kingdom to them, ignoring all the conditions that he put in there. For he said, the gospel's the power of God unto salvation to the one that believes it. And so, therefore, that's a condition. And the benefits of the kingdom are for believers because they are covenant people. Not loosely Christians, like people call it. It's believers that count. So we have to be very careful because with our heart and with our mouth, we can administer salvation or we can administer the curse. You see, because we have authority both ways, positive and negative. We have authority. We disagree with God. We preach the gospel of the devil or the bad news of the devil. I tell you, that's what we're going to have. And God will teach us a lesson. Well, anyway, I want to get on to this, the rest of this testimony, because it didn't stop there with Linda. I mean, she got a wonderful healing and she was so blessed. But then she was really encouraged to believe for her son. And so we got to see another miracle. I'm going to read you a little bit of his story. His name was Terry, okay? He said, I was a lost soul from the Lord. I went under the curse when I was a teenager. It started with a common problem facing many teens. Premarital sex, lust of the flesh, and worshiping the almighty dollar. I eventually married an individual whom I was told not to marry. And my mother had prayed and prayed every day for my salvation, but I refused to listen. And after 5 years, the marriage ended in a disaster. I ended up having 2 nervous breakdowns in this relationship. I'll reveal to you at the end of this why he was having these nervous breakdowns. But he said, a lot of hate for everyone and everything filled my heart for the next 7 years. You know, folks, unforgiveness, bitterness is destroying many people out there. You can pray all you want. You can pray till you're blue in the face, folks, but if you're full of unforgiveness or bitterness or wrath towards anyone, you can forget it. Because Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. You must be forgiven in order to have the benefits of the kingdom. He said, if there's any sick among you, call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. You see, you have to be forgiven. God has to be willing to forgive you to give you the benefits, you see. So make sure that you confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. And make sure that you have forgiven everyone so that the Lord can forgive you and give you his benefits, right? So, he said for 7 years he had this hatred and bitterness towards these people, you know. He said, during this time, I did remarry. But I'll tell you what, folks, you're just dragging all that baggage with you if you get remarried in the midst of a situation like that. And sooner or later, it's going to catch up with you. The curse is chasing you down. Some of you out there are being chased by the curse. And I'm telling you, it'll catch you unless you first run to the Lord. I did remarry and I found happiness again, I thought. This marriage was nice for the first 1.5 years or so. However, because of the hate I had towards my ex-wife, I fell deeper into bondage. I had another breakdown on August the 28th, 1999. This one landed me into a mental rehab facility for a while. And I think he stayed there for 4 years, matter of fact. And I was given several different medications, and I was told that I had several different mental disorders. Of course, I believed everything I was told by this doctor because that's where I had my faith. I started outpatient therapy in September of 99, and by November of 99, I was on Social Security disability. My, quote, mental condition, because obviously he didn't believe that that was really the problem nowadays, but that's what they called it. My mental condition became worse. My medications were increased and changed numerous times over the next 4 years. I had become so dependent on these medications that I would almost die if I missed a dose in a day. My wife and my two kids watched me deteriorate and wither into a broken down shell of a man, and I had to drink a pot to two pots of coffee a day to stay awake to try to take care of my kids. Eventually, I became so lethargic, I couldn't even do that. On October of 2002, I had to go back into the hospital. I lost everything this time. My wife, my kids, my home, my car, my possessions. About a week later, and I almost lost my life. Well, about this time is when Linda came to us. And she was very encouraged because God had just delivered her of cancer, and she was just really full of faith. And she came to us, and she wanted us to pray and to agree for Terry to be healed, to get off those drugs, to be delivered of the demons that had filled his life. And we put our faith together with hers about that time. Well, let me read on here a little bit more of the testimony. He said, I had two people. This is what happened when we agreed in faith. You know, according to Matthew 18 and 19, if any two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done by our Father. What happened was, in his own words, I had two people, both vessels of dishonor, approach me in the hospital. The first was my roommate. He would talk to himself and babble utter nonsense all day. But he turned to me and said very clearly, take this Bible and read it. Here's a guy that he never heard say anything square or intelligible the whole time he had seen him and known him. And suddenly he says very clearly, take this Bible and read it. Within minutes, he returned to his old self. Awesome. You know, God can speak to you folks through a donkey if he wants to. But nothing can stop God from bringing to pass what you can believe him for. Nothing. Nothing in this world. It doesn't matter where you are. He was there. There was no minister of the gospel to preach to him. His family wasn't there. There was nothing but the same kind of people like him all around him. But that didn't stop God. Within minutes, he returned to his old self. Awesome. The same day, an elderly lady who had in most parts the same problems as my roommate came up to me and gave me about 20 scriptures to read. She told me she didn't know why she was to give me this message. The next day, I wanted to thank my two messengers. I mean, he had a real experience that night studying the scriptures, and the Lord moved on his heart mightily that particular night. But he wanted to go thank these messengers that the Lord had sent to him, right? But they didn't even know what I was talking about. My roommate said he didn't own a Bible. And the lady said she had never even talked to me. Well, this amazed me. Yeah, I can imagine, right? Soon I was released from the hospital. And I went to go live with my sister. But I was still on the medication. And I attended the Unleavened Bread Ministries Bible study. And the Lord did something wonderful to me. He laid it on my heart to repent and to confess my sins. The group laid hands upon me and prayed for my deliverance from the medication and the evil spirits that had consumed my body and my heart and my soul. The next day, I took a leap of faith and stopped taking my medicine all at once, which the doctors had told him if he'd ever done this, that it would kill him. They had pretty well convinced him. This brother knew more about medicine any layman I'd run across, I mean, he could tell you the name of it, tell you what it did, everything, you know. He was just really studied up on it, the stuff, you know. And he said, look, several of these medicines that I took, if you get off of them cold turkey and you don't have the power of God on you, you're just going to die, you know. And that's what the doctors told him, too. But I thank the Lord for that healing every day. The Lord gave him a total and complete deliverance. Without the Lord's intervention, I would not be alive today. Since then, I've devoted my life to try to understand God's Word with the ability the Lord gives me, and I'm very thankful. You know, the change in this man was sudden and dramatic. I mean, you couldn't imagine. He was taking so much drugs that he couldn't walk straight, talk straight, think straight, couldn't keep an intelligible stream of words. You know, he was in a mess. And the Lord God set him free. And he was an awesome miracle. He got one of the first jobs he got was a pool cleaning service. And he went out cleaning pools. And very, very bright man, very intelligent man. He went out cleaning pools. And I remember him coming back and telling us one of the pools that they contracted to clean, he didn't know it, his boss didn't know it. He ended up at the psychiatrist's house, had dealt with him in the hospital. And the guy just couldn't believe that this was the same guy. He said, what happened to you? And of course, he got to testify of the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they told his wife that he was totally incurable, that he would never be right, that he would never come out of an institution. And here's this intelligent psychiatrist looking at this guy. He's totally healed and finding out that it wasn't any of his works or any of his medicine that did it. Just a simple prayer of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh boy, I tell you folks, the power that God has invested in those that believe, you know, and the power that he's willing to share and willing to administer in his gifts upon the people who believe is just awesome. Well, it was around this time that he had a flashback back to his childhood, something that he had repressed, a repressed memory that he hadn't thought about in years, didn't remember, it wasn't in his consciousness. But he had this memory flashback, and he had been molested by a Catholic priest when he was just a child. And, of course, the priest threatened him so that he wouldn't report the situation. And this began a demonic possession that brought him to a very humble state so that he would realize his need for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, folks, God works all things after the counsel of his own will. He knows what we need. He knows we're proud. He knows we have to go through these troubles and tribulations. And, you know, Jesus has been given authority over all the power of the enemy, over all the principalities and powers. And he's given that to those that believe. As we studied last time, we saw that just as Adam fell and lost the authority he had over all of the creation, the second Adam didn't fall, didn't stumble, didn't give in to the devil, and didn't give away his authority. His servant you are whom you obey, folks. It don't matter if you call yourself a Christian or not. You'll serve the devil. You'll obey him. You'll give him your authority over him if you walk in sin. And so, Terry learned very well the message of repentance and faith and deliverance that was given to him. The Lord demonstrated it to him very well. You know, many people have gone through horrendous things in their childhood, and they're packing a lot of baggage. And you know, this thing snowballs the further down life's trail you go, and demons open doors to other demons. And you find yourself totally cursed and in bondage. The old folks' homes are full of people that are demon-possessed, can't function. Don't remember this when I was younger. I'm seeing it worse now because we're obviously on this end of the curse, and it is manifesting strongly all around us, you know. But we've been given the answer, folks. By the gospel, we've been given the answer. The Lord Jesus has already taken care of this. And we as Christians are the ones that can bring this revelation to the world. And most Christians are just sitting on their hands and not really doing any of the things that they're commanded. I'm going to share one more testimony here. This was a brother that came to us right after Terry did. And his name was Mike Doty. And he had been in a terrible accident. He was, while he was on drugs too, by the way, he was riding a horse and he got out in the middle of a highway and got ran over by a truck and killed the horse and came within a fraction of killing him, splattered his brains out on the highway, and they didn't get them all back, and they took him into the hospital and they had to cut out some more there. The doctors said that he had irreparable brain and spinal damage and he would never be right. And so they plied him with strong drugs, and all of this, of course, left him with a very short attention span and very poor memory and poor mobility and a lot of anger and pain in his back because he had a crushed spinal column. And so when Mike came to our meeting, he became convinced very quickly of the Word of God. You know, you have to understand how simple-minded he was. Not only did he lose an awful lot of his brains, but he was drugged so heavily that he couldn't think very good. And one reason, like I said, they did this is because he was just so full of anger. They couldn't trust him around people. And his back was in such pain. So he became very impressed. In fact, the very day he came to visit our assembly, I shared something on Mark 11:23-24, which says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you receive them." Literally, the Greek word is received them, as we've already shared. "And you shall have them." And I tell you, that just stuck in his mind. I don't know how, but by the grace of God, it just stuck in his mind. And he just lit up like a light bulb. And the Lord touched his heart right there, because he wasn't saved when he came. But the Lord moved on his heart, and he believed on these verses. And he began to pray this way, and he began to agree this way. He asked questions about it, and we answered his questions, and what was the meaning of this, why God would do this, and so on and so forth. We answered a lot of questions for him. He was very hungry, but that verse stuck in his heart very strongly. And he had a son, Connor, who was recently diagnosed with epilepsy and Tourette's syndrome. And this was, I believe, the month before he came to us and came to the Lord. And Connor was having seizures and tics and cursing episodes. And Mike's wife, who was separated from him at the time, was complaining of the great cost of the drugs that they had to buy and so on and so forth. And Mike began to confess that this verse right here, Mark 11:24. And he prayed and he believed he'd received. He confessed that Connor was healed. And he told me one day, he said, "I did just what you said. I commanded the demons to loose Connor, and I believe I have received." That's what he told me. And I asked Mike, I said, asked him if he wanted us to agree with him for Connor. And he told me it wasn't necessary. He says, "I've taken care of it." In fact, he told me one time, he says, "I've healed him." So I gently explained to him, "No, the Lord has healed him. You're just the mouthpiece, you know." So, and he understood that. Yep. So he accepted that. But he continued to confess that his son was healed. And I was reminded of the, you know, the Syrophoenician woman and the centurion, how that the Lord was just awed at their simple faith and their confession of faith, their confession that that the Lord was sovereign over this situation. Well, the next week I had an opportunity to pray over Mike. I believe it was for anger. You know, I prayed for his anger. And while I did it, I decided I'm just going to agree with Mike on this. I'm going to agree with his faith. So I went on, when I got through praying for him, I went on and prayed for Connor and rebuked that Tourette's syndrome, and I rebuked that epilepsy from him. And Mike called me the next day or two, and he said, "David, he hasn't had one more episode, one more tick, one more falling out." He said, "All of that's gone." He says, "My wife is awed." And then he said, "I'm awed, you know." He says, Connor stayed delivered ever since then, you know. Well, without Mike's faith and his bold confession, I don't think this would have been possible. You know, I've always really encouraged, and I always feel really good when I hear somebody who is willing to do this. Most people, you pray for them, they don't say a thing. They don't confess it. They just think that it's all in your mind, you know. Well, you know, faith without works is incomplete. And when we act on our faith, that's the completion of our real faith. A person that doesn't do that doesn't have real faith. You know, it's incomplete. Fruitless is the word there used in James 2. The word is fruitless. So Mike's bold faith, you know, fulfilled what Jesus said. "As thou hast believed, so shall it be unto you," he said. "As thou hast believed, so shall it be unto you. And according to your faith, be it done unto you." And so Mike had that childlike faith. If everyone had that, folks, boy, I tell you, it would just be so wonderful to be praying for people. You wouldn't have to worry about them. You know, Mike began to use his faith. He shared with me one time right after this how that their garage door opener in his mother's house, which was right down from him, a few blocks from him, quit working. And they thought it was burned up. And his mom said, "Well, we'll have to call somebody to work on it and fix it." And Mike said, "You don't have to do that." You know, he says, "We've got the authority to command this thing to be fixed in Jesus' name. Command it to be healed in Jesus' name." And boy, he was just exercising his faith everywhere for everything. Prayed for his cat, and God healed his cat, and so on and so forth, you know. So he commanded that garage door to work in the name of Jesus, and of course, it went right on to working. You know, his childlike faith was powerful to bring the benefits of the kingdom. You say, some people ask me, they say, "David, can we cast demons out of ourselves?" Well, of course you can. Of course you can. This happens all the time. I'm not saying it's not good to get the elders to pray over you or get other people to agree with you. You know, like with Mike, I mean, the thing that brought it to pass very quickly, there's no doubt in my mind it would have come to pass the way Mike was holding fast to his faith. But you know, the Bible says one will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000. You know, combined faith is 10 times more powerful. So when we put our faith together, God brought it to pass. Glory be to God. But yes, you can. You can. I'm not saying that you don't need to get around God's saints and get them to agree with you. Sometimes God will even speak to people and say that even though they have the faith, go get somebody to agree with you, you know. And confess your sins one to another, too. It's a powerful, powerful thing to do, you know, to humble yourself before God and make sure that, you know, God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud, the Bible says. So confess your sins and do those things. And gathering together and getting other people to agree with you and put their faith with yours is powerful. But at the same time, yes, you can cast demons out of yourself. You can command them to go. And they have to obey you. You have authority, as we just read in Luke chapter 10. You have authority over all the power of the enemy. You've been given authority over all the demon spirits. And many, many diseases are manifested by demon spirits. Sometimes an oppression, sometimes a possession. It really doesn't make that much difference. You have to deal with it the same way. And I would say to you, moms and dads and husbands and wives and mothers and all, you know, you have authority in your household. You have authority for those that you you take care of. Some of you are taking care of you know, older relatives or family members or anybody. It doesn't make any difference. With the centurion, it was his servant that he was responsible for. You have authority in that situation. You don't even have to have their faith in that situation. You've got authority. If you're taking care of them and they're under your household, or even if you're taking care of them in their household, you've got authority in that situation. And so you can take the authority that Jesus has given to you and just exercise it in the name of Jesus. And God will stand behind your words. In other situations where you're dealing with other people out there that you're sharing the gospel with, always share the gospel with them. Don't share deliverance with them. Don't share healing with them. Share the gospel with them. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation of the one that believes. And when I mean the gospel, I mean the good news that Jesus has already saved them from their sins, healed their body, delivered them from demons, provided their needs, all these things, delivered them totally from the curse. Share the good gospel with them. And if they believe it, they can have it, and you can administer it. And that's the condition when you're dealing with somebody that's not under your authority, is you always have to make sure that in one way or another they confess either with their mouth or with their feet in some form that they are agreeing with the gospel. And when they do that, you know that you have authority. Go forth and do it, you know. Share the gospel. You know, lift up Jesus and what he has done before men, and God's power will be present. Share the good news that that he has already delivered them. Not the common gospel that we hear nowadays, that the Lord, the suffering that you go through is somehow beneficiary to you, humbling you. It that's true, but that's not what Jesus preached. He preached deliverance. He was consistent. Everyone who was a member of his kingdom, everyone who was by covenant with God, he offered this benefit to. And he expected their faith to reach out for it and receive it. You know, faith is that substance of the thing hoped for, while the evidence is not seen. And of course, when we're in misery and some form of bondage or other, you know, to the devil or to the demons or whatever, there's no evidence seen. But faith is that substance. This is the thing you need to send forth. If you're on the receiving end or if you're on the ministering end, it doesn't make any difference as what you have to send forth. If any two agree, that can include the one being ministered to and the one ministering. You know, so be sure, you know, to share the gospel with people around you that are in misery. And just ask them for a simple agreement with you concerning what the promise is. Listen, you can believe part of the gospel and receive the benefit of that particular part. You can believe another part and receive the benefit of that other particular part. There are many people who believe the gospel that Jesus bore their sins away and that he has forgiven them, and they stop right there. And they may die not believing the other part of the gospel, that he's also borne all the curse. You know, if he bore your sin, folks, if he really did bear your sin, why would he not bear the penalty of your sin? You're saying that he took away the sin, but he didn't take away the penalty? In other words, I'm guiltless, but I still have to live under the curse? What kind of justice is that? No, that's not the gospel. That's not the full gospel, Paul called it, you know. And he said that could only be manifest in signs and wonders. And that's absolutely true. You know, I mean, we don't have any authority to share a half a gospel. So when you share the part of the gospel that they need, say they're sick, say they have demons, say they're mentally in problems. You know, Terry was totally lost. He was totally lost, didn't know God. But we believed two things. We believed that God would save him, and that he would believe the gospel, and that he would be delivered. And so God brought all of that to pass. I mean, when he came here the first time, we stood around him. We commanded the demons to come out of him in the name of Jesus, you know. And the next day, he was off of all of his drugs. There was a sudden change in the man's life. A sudden change in his life. You know what? I shudder to think if he had gone into an assembly that didn't believe the real gospel, that sent him back to a psychiatrist, as some around here. I've seen some, by the way, so-called full gospel assemblies sending their people to psychiatrists. Can you imagine? We got the benefits of the kingdom are free. They're unmerited. Why would you send somebody who charges? This is not the way Jesus administered the benefits of the kingdom. He did it freely. He didn't charge. You know, and we are to freely give these benefits, not bring people under the law or anything like that. All they have to do is very simply agree with the gospel. Yes, I agree that by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. You know, if they make a confession of any kind, like Linda did, you know, that Jesus had healed them, that's all you need, folks. It's very simple. It's a free gift, you know. Give them the free gift. You have authority to do that. God gave, this is the Great Commission. Every disciple of Christ has these orders to go forth and share with the people around them and administer the benefits of the kingdom. And, you know, how fast the gospel would spread if everybody wasn't depending upon their preacher to just do everything for them, you know, and to go out and tell people, come to my church, you know. Well, they can come to your church, but in most cases, they're not going to get the deliverance. They're not going to get their healing. They're not going to get their benefit because in many cases, you're in a dead church and they don't preach the full gospel. So, you know what, folks? You are to be those evangelists. Evangelism is outside the church. You go outside the church. You know who's in the church? Only the people of God are in the church. Only the people of God are in the church. That's the way it was in the first church. They went out, they evangelized, they brought people into the kingdom out there, they shared the gospel with them, they gave them the benefits of the kingdom, and they joined themselves to the believers. You don't want unbelievers to join themselves to the believers. And matter of fact, in the book of Acts, they were afraid to join themselves to the believers. Matter of fact, Ananias and Sapphira is a good demonstration of what happens if you're a half a Christian and you join yourself to real believers. Do you know that there are many people out there that are dead because they tried to join themselves to believers? See? So what you do is you bring the gospel to them. You go out there and you share it with them. And when they, because of their belief, prove themselves to be a beneficiary of the kingdom, you give them the benefit. You just give it to them. That's the job, folks. Don't invite them to your church. Go out there and share with them. Don't bring them to me. You know, this thing has to spread geometrically. You know, it has to go out through many people. The manifold gifts of God, you know. How far would it go if the very few who are ministers would be the only ones to share this? Many ministers make people dependent upon them to pray for the sick, to evangelize, to preach the gospel. This is not the way, folks. The way is to make disciples and send the disciples. And the disciples go and make disciples. And the disciples go and make disciples. And it's just a geometric progression. Growing, growing, growing. Well, you know what the Nicolaitan era has done, folks? It's made people dependent upon the few preachers that there are. And half, most of these, I wouldn't say half, I would say a whole lot more than half of these are not going to preach the gospel. See, so you find out what the gospel is and bring the powerful gifts of God to them. You get filled with God's Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus said you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Am I saying that you can't do this without the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Nope, I'm not. All you have to do is believe to administer benefits. I'm just saying that the Holy Spirit comes on you in power. If you need more power, you need the Holy Spirit. God bless you, saints. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today, and I pray that you will take the gospel seriously and go forth and do. In the name of Jesus. Good night. God bless you.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com.
You can cleanse my guilt and pride.
Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama 36123.
You can quench my thirsting soul. Pure as water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Of red and white, Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, oh Jesus, I trust in you, I trust in you, I trust in you.
Trust in